One announcement I omitted to make, and that is regarding the outreach that is going on this afternoon. And Brother Jew reminded me about that. And that will be taking place. There is a light lunch provided for any of you who are able to stay. And the outreach will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon in the local area. So please keep that in mind and join if you can. Turn now in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We'll end our reading there and pause, please, for a word of prayer. Lord, we are very thankful for a sense of thy presence with us in our service so far, as we have been given the great privilege of worship, of singing, of offering prayer from our hearts, of just coming, Lord, to fellowship with others of like precious faith, the privilege of health and strength that enables us to be in the house of prayer. And Lord, we acknowledge that all these things are because of your rich grace to us. We are not worthy, Father, of the least of thy mercies, but we are thankful for the greatest that has been given to us, the knowledge of Jesus in our heart, the forgiveness of our sins, and as we read in Ephesians, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, hear our prayer today. Draw near to us now and settle every mind and heart. Take away from us distractions, and bind the devil, that he will not take away the seed out of the heart, the seed of the word. Hear our prayers now, Lord. Help me to speak as your servant in the word of truth, and let no one leave this house today without knowing that the Spirit of God has spoken to them. Bless us, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we were sharing with you, as I've already intimated, that the power necessary for us to continue in the work of Christ here and to launch forward into a new term of service is the power that comes from the Lord Himself. We began a study in our youth Bible class today simply with this title, Strong in the Lord. and wanting to share with our youth the absolute necessity of finding their strength in the God who gives strength to all His people. And you and I today, if we're going to go forward in serving God, we have to realize that it is on our knees, depending solely on the sovereign God of heaven and earth to empower us to accomplish His will. God has a purpose for your life, believer. And as you acknowledge that purpose of a sovereign God, then you will say, I want to know beyond any doubt what that is for me and how I can fulfill it. I am very conscious of my need of that. And so I think that as we progress forward here, what is important for us as Christians is that we understand that God has intended for every single one of His children that we will be brought into conformity to His Son, that we will be made like unto Jesus. That is the great purpose whereby God has formed this world, whereby He has created man and women, and so that when, though we had fallen in our sin with Adam, yet we can be gloriously redeemed through the work of Christ. And in that redemption, we now stand upon redemption ground. And we are being made like unto Him. What I'm referring to is verse number 29 of Romans 8. That's our text for today. And it's going to be a two-part message. I want to deal with part of this morning, largely by way of introduction. And then in tonight's service, we're going to look in more detail of what it means to be conformed into the image of Christ. Verse 29 says this, "For whom God did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." You cannot read these scriptures without being stunned by their meaning. And I think if any portion of scripture would have to be said to be jaw-dropping, this would be one of those. It is deep, it is vast, it is far-reaching. And while that, at the same time, it's overwhelming because we are lost to be able to understand and fully comprehend the meaning. Why so? Because we're taking divine truth, that which has been spoken by God, and the very thoughts of God, and being communicated to finite people, you and me. Yes, the foreknowledge and the predestination of God, while they are doctrines that have been questioned, they've been doubted, they have been disputed, and on the other side, they've been defended. And thankfully, we can say they have also been received and adored by faith. When they are seen as the highest example of God's rich grace that you and I will embrace today by faith. My purpose, as I have already said today, is to speak to you about being conformed to the image of Christ. And this is the heart of verse 29. We are told that there are those whom God foreknew, and those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate for a purpose, and that was to be conformed to the image of His Son. Some have incorrectly taught that the foreknowledge of God is simply God looking down through the corridor of time and seeing people who would respond to the gospel and receive Jesus, and then he chose them to be his elect. But you see, the Lord is the God of eternity and is not the servant of man's fallen will. You must understand that the foreknowledge of God is not simply advanced knowledge. You see, if I was to jump into a pool of water, my advanced knowledge is that two things would happen. Number one, I would get wet. Number two, the water, because of its buoyancy, would hold me from hitting the concrete on the bottom of the pool, granted that there's enough water in the pool to keep me buoyant. That is my advanced knowledge. And my advanced knowledge, before I step off the diving board and jump in the pool, is because of prior experience. And my prior experience would tell me that I will get wet and the water will keep me from hitting the bottom. But you see, God's foreknowledge is based on his advance determination, altogether different. And the advance determination of God is the plan that he has had from eternity. And so, my friends, understand that the foreknowledge of God is not seeing what I choose to do, but it's bringing to pass what God himself has purposed. These words from Isaiah 46 are so powerful. I am God, the Lord says, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. What a declaration of God's sovereignty and his determination of bringing to pass whatsoever he has chosen. You know, friend, the great wonder of our salvation, it is not that we loved God, but the wonder of our salvation is that God has loved us when we did not deserve anything of his love. It is not that we chose him, but it is that he chose us. This is what is called free grace. And the purpose that God had in choosing us was simply this, but it's not simple. It was that we would be conformed to his only begotten Son. You see, God so loves his only Son, and he so loves Christ that when he sent the Lord to the world to be our Redeemer, and he covenanted to give a people unto his Son, he wanted so much to exalt his Son that every one that would be his own brought in by the grace and power of the Lord, that they would be made like unto him. This, my dear friend, is the great and glorious purpose of God's predestination, that we, who are deserving only of hell, that we have been brought into a relationship to know him, to love him, and to be made like unto him. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin, he called us unto Christ. And he did this with the direct intention, or we could say an irresistible call, and it's what theologians have termed effectual calling. And when we were made alive spiritually, which is what happened when the Spirit of God came and breathed into us, we were made alive spiritually, and then we laid hold upon the Lord Jesus by faith. And God has therefore adopted us into his family. And we've been singing today about amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. And God has found me, and He has saved me, and He loves me with an everlasting love. Our verse 29 in Romans 8 says that whom God did foreknow, which means that He has, my dear friends, an elect people for whom Christ died. And then someone would say, wait a minute, how do I know today if I am one of the elect? That's a problem that people raise. They wonder, well, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't get all this whole idea. And if it comes to pass that I'm not one of the, how does that all work? Well, on the surface, it does seem to be a reasonable question and one that has troubled people for a very long time. But my question for you is, why have you not taken the gift of salvation that God has freely offered to you through Christ? He did not say to any of us, wait until you find out if you're one of the elect people and then you can get saved. The Lord never said that. But what did He say? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the idea of repenting, as Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the free offer of the gospel, and it is legitimately given by pastors and preachers because God has commanded us to so present the Lord Jesus. And so whether you are a pastor or a teacher or a personal worker, this is the command that God has given you. You don't go out and try to decide, well, I think I should give the gospel to that person, but not to that person because they look a bit more respectable and they look a bit more ready to be saved. That's not our business. But what we are called to do is to spread the gospel message. And the great commission, the Lord said, was to preach the gospel to every creature, and you do your business, and God, the Spirit, will take care of His business. It is the work of the Spirit to save. It is my responsibility to present the gospel, the good news of salvation from sin, and the glorious hope, my dear friend, of eternal life. Some say it seems unjust for God to choose some to salvation and eternal life and not others. Well, actually, I would say to you for a moment, turn that thought around the other way. It would actually be very just for God to condemn everyone into hell for our sin. God would be just and holy and perfect and absolutely true if every one of Adam's race were cast off into a lost eternity, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here, my friend, is the wonder of God's rich grace to you and me. And He has seen in His own sovereign purpose to set His love upon us, and we have received that. And I say this to you today with all humility, because it is not the Lord looking at me and my life and saying some spark of holiness, some area of virtue, some righteous reason why I should be saved by the Lord. It wasn't my intelligence. It wasn't the fact I was brought up in a certain country or a certain place. No, friend, all of these things belong to the mercy and grace and the love of God that has given to us the gift of eternal life. You know, when a person is being presented with the gospel, what do they see? they see a door. And we could say written over the top of the door would be this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the promise of the gospel of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And also Peter carried through the prophecy of Joel in Acts chapter 2, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are the gospel promises that are in the Word. And so when a person looks at that door, that's what they see. And when we embrace Christ by faith, acknowledging our sin, and we say, Lord, we deserve death and hell, but you've given to me life and forgiveness of sin, and I embrace the Lord and come through that door. Do you know what we see on the backside of that door when we look? We will see these words, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Oh, friend, this is the wonder of the grace and the mercy of God. Never let the doctrine of election or predestination be a stumbling block for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you meet that criteria, as so do I. I shared with you last Lord's Day about my own struggles when I had come to accept the Lord as Savior, but I did not feel saved. And it was the truth of John 6:37 that reinforced the gospel message with power to my heart. And that word simply says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And when Jesus spoke that word, he was saying it, if you come to me for salvation, I will not turn you away. Friend, have you come today? Have you laid hold upon him by faith? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? Put all these other things out of your mind, because it's just you and the Lord now, your sin, and he is the Savior, and he's appealing to you to come. And the very fact that you're here, you're listening to the Word today, the very fact that you're online at your computer, and you maybe have turned up today by accident in your mind, but you're hearing the Word, and God has presented that word to you. Do not close your mind to it. Do not turn away. The promise, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. We sang that hymn by Isaac Watts at our offering time. How sweet and awful is the place, with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Yes, my dear friend, today we can say that we love him because he first loved us. You see, in God's plan of salvation, it was not just to forgive us our sins and give us eternal life, but it was to make us in every respect like his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. God the Father so loves the Son and honors him that all who are saved by his grace will be changed, conformed to be made like unto him. And this comes down then to the heart of our text. What does the word conform mean here in our text? Well, it means to transform from one thing to another thing, or to make an identical copy. It comes from the Greek word morph, and it means to change. And we use the exact same word in English, actually. It's interesting to notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18, it says these words, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians, look, God has purposed that you will become like His Son. You are saved by His grace, and now as you look at the glory of Jesus Christ, as if a man standing and looking in a mirror, reflecting the image of Christ, what is transpiring in our Christian walk is that we are being made like Him. And it's from glory to glory. And what that means is it's from the glory of Christ to impress upon us His glory. And the more and more you and I are made like Him, we will be a mirror of His holiness and beauty, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's interesting in that text in 2 Corinthians, the word changed. It's the word metamorphosis. Being transformed from one object to another object. And of course, the great illustration that we have in nature is the process of metamorphosis that takes place when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. And you have all seen that, I'm sure, in some form or another. And it is the most amazing and beautiful thing to see a monarch butterfly come out of that cocoon. And it's a transformation that takes place. Well, not only is that an illustration of salvation for us, of being brought out of our sinful, darkened state into the light and life of Christ, but what it is also is the transformation that is taking place in our Christian life. We are taking on the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and His likeness. And this, my friend, is what the Lord has predestined us for, that we will be made like His Son. In your bulletin today, there is a quote by a man called Barnhouse, and it really deals very much with this very point of being transformed. I will encourage you to read it carefully. I think it will be a blessing for you, for he is dealing exactly with this point. And that's why I included it in there today. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, Philippians 3 and verse 21, it says, who, that is God, who shall change, and it's again the word morphe, who shall change our vile bodies, our corruptible human bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto. And what's interesting, those three words, fashioned like unto, it's the word conformed, identical to our word in Romans 8:29. We will be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. My friend, when we begin to scratch the surface of these tremendous doctrines, and we delve a little deeper into the deep truth of the Word of God, we must not do it with any pride, but we must do it with humility of heart and say, Lord, where there are things too hard for me to understand, things that I'm wrestling with, things I don't get, we come humbly before Him in prayer and say, oh, blessed Spirit, give me more light. Open my mind. Open my understanding to these mighty truths. Because the more we have the mind of God impressed upon our minds and our hearts, the more we will take on His purpose for us. Because we are told in the Scripture that we have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ because the divine nature is now in us, then we are on the road. We are on the way, friend, of taking on the beauty and the glory and the holiness and the purity of our Savior. And where, my friend, will you see him? Where will you find him? You will find him in the pages of God's revealed word. And the Spirit of the Lord will take the promises, will take the truth, will impress them upon us. And as they are stamped upon our souls with greater force and greater advancement, then we are growing and growing and growing to be like him. And of course, that will be done as you are in the service here, listening to the word being preached. But it will also, and it must happen, friend, as you avail yourself of every service that is offered to you in the local fellowship. Because each time the people of God gather, they gather for the purpose of reading the Bible, of praying, of worshiping in song, of teaching the Scriptures, and we must imbibe this in our hearts. I say to you today, do not be lazy about the things of God. Do not be lazy about your church attendance. Come, my friend, to the midweek prayer meeting. Come and join in prayer with those, your brothers and sisters in Christ, bearing the burden of the work of God here. Come to the evening service where you again will be challenged by the Scripture, and just avail yourself of every opportunity to grow and to learn and to fellowship, because then you are doing exactly what the Lord has purposed for us through His Word, that we will grow thereby, that you will be strengthened with might in the inner man, that you will mix the Word of God with faith so that we can go on with Him. That's what He's called us to do. And that's what we must do if we're going to serve Him in our generation. I don't need to tell you that our society is rotting from the inside out. And it seems in these last number of years, with the promotion of great evil and wickedness around us, what type of Christian are we to be? How can we be better equipped to be a witness for the Lord in this day and not capitulate and fall into the ways of the world and all the entertainment attractions and all the things that are put forward as worship today, but perhaps more like entertainment? Let us be careful, friends. Let us be serious about God's work, and let us press forward and say, Lord, we want to be in our fellowship. We want to be a mirrored example of the honor of Christ, to give honor to His name. We want to follow the Word and be what we can. We know that perfection is not until the day when we see Christ. We know that our conformity to Him will not be complete until then. We're on the road. We're on the journey now. My dear friend, get your teeth into the Word of God. Spiritually come and say, Lord, make me a more vibrant Christian. Make me one who is hungry for the truth of God. Make me one who wants to go on to excel and go forward for the Master. Because the more that you and I get hold of this truth, and see that God has purposed this for us. He has predestined us to be like His Son. Therefore, let's not have anchors around us slowing our progress, but cut those chains and let us be liberated and go free and onward to serve Him. I pray, friends, as we've looked at this verse of Scripture by way of introduction this morning, that as we look at it again tonight and see in some more detail how we will be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus, it will encourage your heart and you will be blessed by His Word. Let's bow, please, now in prayer. Lord, we acknowledge today our total helplessness apart from Thy power in our life. And I pray that as this Word, this Scripture, which is so powerful and so deep, and yet we speak it with very faltering human words, Lord, teach us more and more out of the Word of God. Teach us more of the mind of Jesus, and may His image be stamped upon us. Help us to be changed from His glory into our own glory, reflecting Him. So, dear Father, part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. Encourage every heart. We pray again for Angela and for Roger as they must depart from us later this afternoon. Lord, go with them. Go before them. Bless them in their journey. Keep them safe. And may they be encouraged in their own walk with Christ. And others who are visiting our service today, bless them, we pray. Encourage them in their own life journey and witness for the Savior. Hear our prayers now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.